What are we going to do with them? Bless the children and Sue in the name of Jesus. If you open your Bibles and turn to Romans 11, there's just something there that's pretty interesting. Right at the end of the chapter, I think it starts at 35. That's where I want to start. It says, "Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? And from him, or for him, and for from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen." And then it says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers." Well, the therefore, let's stop and look at the therefore. Therefore is because of this, because of what I just said, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Now, one of the other translations I like says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will accept." That's exactly how we are. You know, when we come to him, we are a holy and acceptable offering. Isn't that wonderful? He loves us exactly the way we are. And we don't have to polish ourselves up when we come to him. Just the way we are is holy and acceptable to him. Another translation says, "Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him." Isn't that sweet? "Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you'll know what God wants you to do." So what this is saying is surrender. Allow God to renew your mind. As he does that, we'll be transformed. Just being part of a church, you want to transform yourself. But that's not how it works. We can't fix it. That's a bunch of religious exercise. You know, we might as well be meeting on Saturday and fasting on Friday night and slaughtering a lamb periodically. It still didn't fix it, did it? Surrender. Allow him to renew our minds, and he will transform us. And we'll know exactly what he wants. People run around praying, they want to know the will of God and all this stuff. God isn't somebody to control. Let's give it up. Ephesians 3:19 says, "Love surpasses knowledge." He loves us. Thank you. Do a time of just worship and let the truth of this word just dissipate any false burdens we may be carrying in our thinking about God and what he expects. The load he requires, as Jesus said, it's not heavy, but it's light, it's easy. I believe he wants by his Spirit to bring a real freedom to the way we think. That's probably the most difficult thing for us as human beings, is to change how we think. We hold on to our thoughts, even when they're self-destructive. There's something about human nature that just tenaciously holds on to a certain viewpoint and perspective. And coming before him and just presenting ourselves, our lives, knowing that he accepts us as we are, just letting go, we're going to let God change how we think, bring freedom to us, bring a capacity of revelation to know him and to see life in a new light. So Lord, as we worship you this morning, we invite you in. Transform us. Amen. Ray, could you... To dismiss. Let me turn this off. No.
I don't know if he's going to throw me off this thing.
No, I'm going to go sit down. Can I sit down?
Yeah. Very nice. I was wondering if the Lord would offer this opportunity, because I've known David since he was 4 years old as a ring bearer at our wedding. And we kind of had a special friendship. He called me uncle, but it was friends. We were friends. Anyway, so we were blessed in seeing him grow, and he was just a normal kid with a lot of fun things to do, and just a lot of fun. And he could relate real well, and he did with me anyway. And so we were blessed when he moved to San Diego. I mean, and before that, I want to tell you something I thought was interesting in his life. David was not, by his own nature, a robust preacher type ever. And I thank God for that. And he was not some hail and farewell type guy, and you know, could go around and pat you on the back or have the right thing to say. But when he said something, it was a way of connecting. And he ended up being in the scouts, and he was not necessarily what you would normally pick as a leader. And in the scouts, he went through all the merit badges, and he's a good learner, and he did well in the scouts, but his father took him to a camp, which he enjoyed, and he thought he was out of there in 1 week, and it was over with. And his father was a man of God, John, said, "I think you should stay another week. This, correct me if I'm wrong on this. Stay for the leadership program." "Oh, no, Dad, I want to go home. I mean, all my friends are gone, you know, and I want to get back." And so he says, "Well, I really think you should stay." And David submitted to it. And out of that came a real ability of realizing that he could be a leader in the program and the scouts. And that I think, was a fundamental change of him just normally being a kid that wouldn't be necessarily easy or at ease in public, in a speaking situation or anything. So then he came to San Diego. So anyway, he did go to this camp, and that really did bring out something, and he became junior assistant scout leader. Of course, a junior assistant sounds kind of little, but it's really big, because in the scouting, the junior assistants, they really do lead. They really lead the other scouts and everything, and also they bring up the young ones, and David was always good about helping the young come forth. So when he came to San Diego, he was still this shy young man. And I was involved with campus life and campus crusade in the high school level, and he would come to the meetings. And there were good meetings, and I was in the high school teacher at that time, and so I knew a lot of the kids. And David just came along, fit right in a quiet sort of way. But during the meeting, some kid would ask a question, and the young people involved, leadership, would say, they would try to answer it. And so then afterwards, David, in a very easy way, would say, "Uncle Fred, what do you think about this in the Bible here?" And it'd be the exact answer, to me, to the question. In other words, it's just something, the Lord just tuned it in spirit to pick out the kernels. And I saw that happening, and it just kept going. And pretty soon we started having meetings in La Jolla at a church, which was a spirit-filled church, and a lot of young people. And he met some other young college people. He was a freshman in that time. And pretty soon, afterwards, they would want a little group afterwards, and so he'd start teaching in the session, and they all shared, of course. This was, these young people were all enthused for the Lord, and so they shared the word with each other, and David was really the teacher of that group. And so ultimately he felt, you know, it'd be nice to have meetings in our house in Point Loma, which was at the time just finished it and didn't have any furniture but a big living room. And it was a living room, dining room combination, and still some rooms to some area to the side. So we went there. So the pastor, he told the pastor about it, and the pastor said, Chuck Donhow said, you know, okay. He didn't have any problem with it. And we had meetings of those kids coming, 50, 60, 70, up to 100 kids. It's all sit on the floor, some down the stairways, some out in the deck. And just kids got filled with the Lord, worship the Lord. And it just was fantastic. And we never had one problem. Never a problem. Not even a cigarette butt. A few gum wrappers. It was beautiful. And then the Lord just led the whole thing to continue to grow. And then he met other young people, and some of them are here in this audience right today, and others that were very dear to us. And so we got together with another church, and that was a beautiful time for all of us of growing. And David had the Friday night meeting, I remember, and that was the big meeting. And a lot of growth, and he was always feeding the sheep, sharing what the Lord showed him, and giving to others. Never trying to push himself into something. And there was a lot of ambition, because these were a lot of young guys, many in college, most of them in college. And ambition among youth, you know, it can get pretty strong. But David just kept his basically serving attitude. And that's been true of his life, and I could go on, but all through, we saw that grow, and we saw ministries grow, and we saw the Lord just bless a lot of young people, and those ministries developed, and of course there was always some, like anything, kind of like David and Saul, or situations that we had a pastor that was jealous of David, and you know. And that was kind of interesting. And he lived with that for 7 years, but yet kept a right spirit in it, I think. Sure, it was trying, because the guy was really realized that David had brought the influence, probably realized it, or maybe he didn't want to realize it. But bless his heart, it didn't matter. The whole thing continued to flourish at the time, and it was beautiful to see the people being fed. And David then has always been one, I feel, who feeds the sheep. And I just feel it's a blessing to see him being honored today by a lot of people that knew him from the very beginning, and a lot of people who knew him recently and what the Lord's put in his heart. Because even in that experience we went through, there's a lot of things he learned that God didn't want. There was a lot of ambition for the self nature, the ego, a lot of religiosity, a lot of controlling people's lives in churches, which happens. And David just always stood for what God wanted, and not for what man was trying to impose on the sheep. He was always a shepherd of the sheep. And that's what has always kept me. In fact, what kept me was, in those early years, there was in the campus life and campus crusade programs, which I was active in. And I was probably about 37 or 38. And you know, these were young guys, and they knew me as a leader, as a teacher and coach and stuff, maybe, but not necessarily as a spiritual leader. But, you know, you want to help what you can.
And there was a message that came out, if you want a ministry, you got to find a you got to find a person like Paul and Timothy situation. You got to find a Timothy. Oh, okay. Got to find a Timothy. Well, I was sitting here with this young man, David, and thought, well, he could be my Timothy, which is, like you say, the thoughts of men are that was presented today. Sometimes our thoughts aren't always God's thoughts. And here I saw David really getting something from the Lord very close. And pretty soon I decided, hey, I'm going to be his Timothy. And that's what's happened. And so I always have felt, well, David has the anointing. It's kind of like, I don't want to make these comparisons seem too drastic because they're not, but it's like John the Baptist. He recognized, yeah, this guy, this is the anointing. And I thank God that I saw that, and I just thank the Lord. And out of that, David has always been faithful to the sheep. He didn't go into some, he was a good student. He could have gone to a lot of fields, says, well, the career takes me off this way or that way, but he always stayed in the ministry, and most of the time without any pay at all for years and years, just to serve the sheep. So today I just honor you, David, and I honor what God has, the main thing is I honor what God has wrought in you, and I thank him for that, and I thank you for the association that I've had with you and your life and your raising of your family and your devotion to the sheep. And I just thank you all for being here. And I don't mean to turn this thing into a emotional thing. I just thank you all for your support over the many years and for many other people that are still. And I look forward to the time ahead, because I know God is going to expand the opportunities for you. And I just bless what he has in store. I don't know what it is, but Lord, you know. And you will show him, and you will show those that show us, show whoever, what the Lord has put in him. And I thank the Lord right now very much. That's the main thing. So we honor you, but we just thank you, Lord, for what you've wrought in David through this life. And we just bless the future. We bless his many days. And I probably have talked too long. So if anybody else wants to say anything while we're waiting for that good Greek food. Be my guest.
Thanks, Fred. Well, Fred's probably maybe been around longer than anybody. I'm sitting back, I think I've got to be the newest comer around here. You've heard of the newcomer. I've got to be the newest comer. And I honestly, I've been impressed with David and enjoyed David and come to love David like no minister I've ever known. I became a Christian in 1972, and I've sat in a lot of different churches and heard a lot of different people share. But I've said to John and Karen and others that this is really the most profound, in touch, loving, communicative, ready to move as the Spirit moves, ready to move forward in the things of God and take all the people that he loves with him. I've never seen anything like it. And I just enjoy David. I enjoy your spirit. I enjoy you as a person. Look forward to getting to know you. Everybody else had the advantage over the years, and I'm looking forward to that myself. I've been ministered to. If you open your mouth, I'm ministered to. And I honestly can't say that about 8/10 of the ministering I've heard over the years. I mean, that sounds negative, but it's just powerful and it's alive. And I'm sitting back there thinking, I trust that all of you will be in full agreement with David, as my sense of it is he's taking all of us into a new time and a new season, hearing fresh things that will require faith in God as we hear the Father's voice through David. And I'm with you, and I know probably this body of believers is with you. Lead on. Thank you very much. I love you.
Of course, his mother isn't here, but I guess I've known David longer than anyone else here. And I'll make it short, but I knew him from about the day he was born, came home from the hospital, and in the little house in the back on 89th Street is where they lived then, and Grandma Cocos lived in the front. And I was in that room, and that was the first time I'd had a lot of the presence of God, being in Utah on a farm and everything. We had the opportunity for the Lord to really be so real to us. But there, the presence of God was so strong, and there was a choir of angels singing with us. And it's been such a thing that I knew he was called from God. So God has had such a special calling, and he is not through yet, and he's continuing on. But I know that we are all blessed. And I love you, David, and we have so many experiences through all those years. It'd take a long time to keep talking. But
David's a dear friend of mine, and I want to go back a few years. I met a lot of this group, the Cocoses and the Ludwigs, in Hawaii when we were attending church there with Vera Thomas. And then we went to a Tabernacles in Florida, and that's actually the first time that I met David. And David's just a couple years younger than I am, and so, you know, we had this mutual bond, and so we went out and played a little golf during this, you know, it was a time of rest, and so we went out and played a round of golf, and I noticed that there were lights on this course, and I said, gee, it'd be neat to play a round of golf at night. You know, I'd never done that, and both of us aren't great golfers, but, you know, we'd probably lose more balls than there were holes, but, so I thought, you know, this would be great, so I'm going to put it on his shoulders that he was the one that approached the preacher and said, let's go out and play golf at night. You know, we'll miss the service. And this preacher really went high and to the right, you know, that you would go out and play golf. And I said, well, how closer can God can you be than out there in the what he's created? And so that was quite a few years ago. And, of course, then we moved here from Hawaii, and we started church here, and then for one reason or another, we moved up north to a church, and then we came back here eventually. You know, I've had the privilege of being counseled by David, being led by David, and he is a mighty man of God. And I know all of us that are here today wish him the best, God's blessings. And we thank you that, you know, we have a dear man of God that walks among us. And again, being similar in ages, you know, we can joke among each other, you know, but it's nice to know that he is a preacher, he is a mighty man of God, and that you can put your hands around him and love him, and he loves you back and gives you all the latitude in the world to do what you want to do. And if you feel led to leave, go ahead. He's not a person that's going to capture the audience and say, you've got to stay. He says, if the Lord leads you, be led on. And so, David, I appreciate, you know, your love, your kindness, your friendship. I know that, you know, I went through retirement a couple of years ago, and you blessed me, and now I have the opportunity to bless you in retirement. And I know that you're going to find that retirement will have probably more things for you to do than you ever imagined, because I know Anya is going to be right there and at the store and everything else and those things. But anyway, I ask for the blessing of God upon you, your family, your friends, your relatives. May you be loved and blessed, and thank you, God, for a mighty man of God that you are.
I've known David for most of my life, and I've gone through a lot of periods where I was about ready to give up on everything, and he's been the one that's been there to quietly lead me and give me hope and faith that there is something better and that I can keep going. And that it's just not that there is something better for me in the future. And he's always been that quiet place to fall, that strong. He's the strong person to guide you, but he's always been that soft, quiet place to fall where you're not going to be judged, you're just going to be loved.
Roast. A lot of you, well, some of you know me, some of you don't, haven't seen me because I haven't been around. But David doesn't probably remember, but he was responsible for me coming to know the Lord inadvertently. And there was a friend of his that was a friend of mine when I was in college, and it was time for me to meet the Lord, and she was going to bring me to church, and I was going to meet the Lord, except, you know, I was friends with her brother, so, you know,